game is over when the final buzzer sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Interviews, analysis, and your opinion. Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Gives it to Leon Draisaitl. One-timer whiffed by Hyman. Shot score. Hyman had it tipped home by Dylan Holloway. And the Oilers take a 1-0 lead at even strength. Here's Holloway racing in left-hand side. Wrist shot score. What an elite finish just underneath the bar. Delia, no chance. Holloway's got two tonight, three in the preseason, and Edmonton extends to a 3-1 lead. Never reached Holloway. Ends up drifting behind the net. Back on Holloway's stick. He shoots and scores. Hat trick. Dylan Holloway. 5-2 Edmonton. And a four-point night for the rookie trying to make this hockey club.
They're throwing their hats away for Holloway tonight at Rogers Place. Dylan Holloway, three goals and an assist, leading the Edmonton Oilers to a 7-2 preseason win over the Vancouver Canucks. Two preseason games now left for Edmonton. They will open the regular season next Wednesday against the Canucks, and Dylan Holloway looking more and more like he will not be denied when it comes to being in that lineup on opening night. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. It's 10:03. We're live inside Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins. Well, I said during the first period when Holloway had a goal, it's always nice when the player you feature on the faceoff show comes up big during the game, and he was far from finished. I mean, he had an excellent game.
He did. The expectations for him tonight were huge. That's all we talked about on the pregame show. We felt that he had an opportunity to showcase his talents playing with Leon Draisaitl. The first period were a lot of penalties, so you didn't see a lot of five-on-five time, yet he did have the goal, and he just got better as the night went on. He's got the ability to be an elite hockey player in the National Hockey League. He's got speed, he's got hands, he can shoot the puck, and he's got good on-ice vision. And when you combine all that and put it with a superstar like Leon, it's just going to manifest into something special. And that's what we saw tonight. When he's got ability put with opportunity, you're going to have success. And I think that's what we're seeing is the start of hopefully a nice career for Dylan Holloway in Edmonton. I know that contracts and salary cap come into play, and I don't understand all of it. And that's why all these teams have a guy that just looks at salary cap. But if you're going based on play, Dylan Holloway is not only on your team, he's in your top six, and he's starting next Wednesday in the opening night. He has been good, and Bob said it, and I agree. Three of the four games that Dylan Holloway has played in, he has been the best forward for the Edmonton Oilers.
I said it to you on Overtime Open Line on Saturday, and I said it to Bob. He's a young player, inexperienced mm-hmm. in the NHL, because he's only played one playoff game, and that was about 4 minutes, but he makes NHL plays, and what I mean by that is, what my definition of that is, are things that are difficult, but if you're in the NHL, you make them almost all the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought his second goal tonight, so it's a 2-on-1, the Vancouver defender takes the pass away, and Holloway had to kind of stutter a little bit, and he's forced wide and low. And that play easily could have died.
Yep.
And on a lot of players, it would have died. It's a weak shot. It's a hope pass that goes into the defenseman pads, or he tries a saucer pass, but it's too high to knock down, or he shoots it into the goalie's logo, and it's frozen. So it looks like, all right, this has gone from a grade A scoring chance to now a grade C, mm-hmm. grade D.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the puck's in the net. He still was able to make a skilled play and finish the play and not waste an opportunity, even though Vancouver looked like they'd taken away the Oilers' best chance to score.
Well, the defenseman did a really nice job. He took away the pass and said, all right, goaltender, this one's on you. And Holloway was just better than the goalie on that. He sees the ice well. He understands when the puck's on his stick what to do, and he's even better when the puck's not on his stick. He can read the play and get himself in the right position. The goal that Barry scored, it was a nice play. He came across, gave an outlet for Leon Draisaitl in his own end, and just a little touch pass up to Hyman, and then drive the net. Those are all things that you expect players to do 100% of the time, but they don't. and he doesn't get caught watching the play. He makes the play. He creates the opportunity for his teammates. He was good. Now, there, it's not going to be a straight-up road for him. Like, he's every night's not going to be great for Dylan Holloway. But what we saw tonight is when he's on his game and bounces go his way, he's capable of doing this. I believe he's earned another spot in the top six. Now, I have no idea what their top six is going to look like on Wednesday in Vancouver. There could be a lot of players left home. But he is the way he's played in preseason in Penticton, there's not been a drop-off. He's made the team in my eyes. And I have him in my top six to start the season. And then give him the certain amount of games and see what you can do and see if he's got consistency to play at this level.
And, of course, we have to acknowledge the phrase that you, me, broadcasters, and fans around the NHL use about 2,000 times a day at this time of year. It's only the preseason,
yep.
which is fair enough. And we've talked about it. Last year's preseason sensation was Brendan Perlini. Mm-hmm. So things don't always translate. So I think that's fair for anybody who might be sitting back a little skeptical and say, okay, December 10th, you know, when they've played,
yep. you know, 100%.
A bunch of grinding teams. How's he doing? Absolutely fair comment. Absolutely relevant. I will offer this, though, to look at it from the other angle. The difference between, just to use Perlini as example, mm-hmm. Perlini had spent the previous year, so now 2 years ago, out of the NHL. So the previous year, 32 teams, or I guess 31, I don't think Seattle was in yet, had said, we're not even sure about
yes.
this guy. So the Oilers were giving him a chance to reclaim his career. And he had a couple nice moments
yep.
in the regular season, but generally he was in the minors. Holloway is on the way up. He's going to get better. And I also think, Rob, and we've talked about this before, that the Oilers are in a different stage than they were 7 or 8 years ago, where, great, we finished last again. We finished 29th again. We got a high pick. We have to play him because we don't have anybody else. Oh, and by the way, we're playing other guys who should probably be in the AHL. I think the beauty of it for Hall, he's in a hockey-mad market. Fans know their stuff. Things get scrutinized. But I also think if Dylan Holloway, if we hit mid-December, maybe he's only got 3 points in his previous 10 games. On this team, it's not the end of the world. Sure, people are going to know his stats and all that stuff, but it's not like, well, if Dylan Holloway doesn't produce, the Oilers are screwed. It's not like that at all. He can come in, find his way. If he's in the top six sometimes, great. If he's swapped in and out with somebody else, I don't think that's the end of the world. He can kind of come along and learn how to play in the NHL.
Well, Connor McDavid actually touched on that the other day, and he talked, is it Reed Schaefer, is that the kid's name, the first rounder?
He went back to Seattle.
And he said he came in and there was no expectation for him. He can come in, just enjoy himself, get his feet wet, and go back to where he belongs because they're a much better hockey club than they've been. And the difference between Holloway and a Perlini, Ty Ratty, players like that, is those were surprise preseasons. And they made the team, and good on them. They had to come in and have a good preseason to make the team. But they were surprises. I don't know if anyone's really surprised what Holloway's doing because this was the expectation, whether it was to happen this preseason or in December or in March. The expectation was that Dylan Holloway was going to be an Oiler and he was going to be a top six player. And he's just maybe started it out a little quicker. Now, this might fizzle out, and after 20 games, maybe he needs a reboot. But Dylan Holloway is going to be an Edmonton Oiler and going to be a top six player, just like Yamamoto. Had a really good preseason that 1 year. Didn't start it go as well. Spent a little time down in the minors. He's now a top six guy. And I think most of us here believe that that's where he's going to be for the near future because he's proven it at this level. He's got a consistency now. The problem that the Oilers have is with Jesse Puljujärvi is there's still the hope that he could be a top six player. But there's also they've had four different coaches look against it and say, you know what, I'm not sure he can play at that spot on a consistent basis. And that's where a guy, every time you don't, someone comes in and has an opportunity to take your spot, it's a younger player coming in, and you're out of the lineup, and all of a sudden he goes in and does something like this, there's always that fear for the player sitting in the press box, that guy right now might be stealing my spot.
Well, and the good play has to be rewarded.
Yep.
So, Woodcroft and Manson and Gullitson and Fraser can't be telling the guys, like, you got to earn your shot. You got to earn your shot.
And then
say, nice hat trick, but here's your ticket to Baker. Like, you know, things you got to be accountable for that.
And the thing is, and just like if you look at Jesse, you're going to look at the whole body of work for Dylan Holloway. You can't just be blinded by the three goals. You're going to look at what he does on the back check, what he does getting pucks out of the zone, what he does getting pucks in. Now, I thought he was good at those, but they're going to be broken down much better by the coaching staff. And that's what you're looking
for.
He
kills penalties a bit, too. He's given a shot.
And that's another thing. When you're looking for ice time for players, that's a huge factor. Jesse Puljujärvi doesn't kill penalties. Yes, he's not on the power play anymore. He's lost, and that's not on Jesse. The Oilers have gone out and got a Kane, and they got a Hyman. Both those guys are ahead of Jesse when it comes to power play time, and will be. They've got big contracts. They're good hockey players. So Jesse Puljujärvi's not on your power play. Jesse Puljujärvi's not in your shorthanded situations. So now he's only a 5-on-5 guy. It's sometimes in games that we saw in the first period tonight, when power plays come in and penalties come in, all of a sudden that player is taken out of the game, and we've seen a lot of coaches, if a guy sat for 8-9 minutes, I'm not putting him in anymore.
Right.
So now your bench becomes three lines, and you don't play the rest of the night. You've got to be able to find a way to get on one of the specialty teams. Warren Fogle talked about it. He's now trying it out here in the preseason. He needs to get on the penalty kill if he wants to stay in the lineup, because you've got to be able to do something other than 5-on-5, or you find yourself at the end of the bench a lot.
All right, so the Oilers win 7-2 over the Canucks. Holloway with three goals and an assist in the regular season. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we'll turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. That would allow you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite Japanese steakhouse. Reserve your party today at jvedmonton.ca. Sorry, Rob, you cannot print one up in the preseason.
I've got a couple left over from last year. They might not notice down there.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to go down.
Still good.
I'll try it.
All right. Let's go down to the Hall of Fame room. Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft.
Hey, Jay, you said obviously early in camp that you were going to give Dylan Holloway this opportunity. What did you make of his game tonight?
He had a heck of a game tonight. I thought that line with Dreisaitl and Hyman and Dylan, they were the best line on the ice. They controlled the puck. They didn't give up a ton against. And, we went down to 11 forwards there. So we moved some pieces around and found people extra ice time. But it was a good game for Dylan. He's got to feel good about it. And, you know, he's going to enjoy it. And then, you know, he knows tomorrow's the next battle, and tomorrow's battle is going to be just to rest and recover and get ready for Wednesday.
He's seemingly gotten better throughout from rookie camp on. Obviously, that's the expectation for him, but do you want to get him into these last two games to against the top quality competition to really see what he has to offer, I guess?
Yeah, I think what we'll do as a staff is we're going to do our work on this game, digest it, and then see what we have left. And we'll sit and strategize as a group and try and find the right lineup for Wednesday night. When I say the right lineup, it's also about answering some questions. As you said, we expect two pretty good lineups in the last two games of the year, or of the preseason. And, so we're going to, you balance everything, in terms of answering the questions you want answered. But at the same time, you got to make sure you're getting your team ready for when the regular season begins next week.
Are there any questions you feel that need to be answered still about Dylan and his game?
Well, I think the more Dylan plays at this level, the more he feels comfortable and the more he shows his teammates and his coaching staff where he's at. It is the preseason. And so, he should feel very good about that game today. He put down a good one. It looked like he had good chemistry with Dreisaitl and Hyman. And, he's going to, like I said, he'll rest and recover tomorrow just like everybody else, and get ready for whatever comes on Wednesday.
And just last one for me, any update on Tyler Benson, who didn't play?
I didn't talk to our doctors. He was being evaluated, obviously took out of the game for precautionary reasons. He tried to come back and take a shift, and it wasn't feeling where he wanted it to. I'm sure he'll get a picture on it, but I haven't talked to the doctors.
Jay, when it comes to the Dylan, he's obviously got a world-class shot. He's got a great shot, but he seems to get into the right spots. Like he reads the game really well at a high level. Is that what kind of maybe is most impressive about him at this young age?
Yeah, well, he's got the raw materials of an NHL hockey player. He's big. He's strong. He has a real good skill set in that he's a powerful skater. He is feeling fully healthy. He had a rough go there with his injury in his last college game. And it's taken him a while not only to get back up and running, but also to just feel better about it, and the act of shooting to feel more comfortable for him. And so he's put a lot of work in. I'm happy that he's having some success here. And as Daniel mentioned, it seems like he's getting better each day. And that's what we're asking our team to do is to make sure that we're improving on a daily basis.
And I just want to ask about Jack Campbell. What did you think? He looked like he got more comfortable as the game went along than he made that unbelievable save, I guess. You like where he's at, and is he going to get another game? Does he need more time?
Jack will get another game for sure. I thought he was really good. I didn't think we were the cleanest of teams in the first half of the game, and he kind of allowed us to settle in. He made big saves when called upon. That one in the third period you're talking about was excellent, but I think he made a bunch of really good saves early in the game. Unfortunately, we scored one on, that went off our body and in the net, but he was very good, and a big reason why, the score and the goals against were only two for the other team.
Jay, what dimensions of Warren Fogle's game are we seeing right now early in preseason that we didn't necessarily see at the tail end of last?
Well, he's feeling confident, and that comes as a result of a lot of hard work and hard effort. He understands also, and I think this is important for everyone to understand, is that he understands the positions he's in, which is he's battling to make the team, and he's battling for his place in the lineup. And I think that's exactly what we want to see at Warren Fogle. It's exactly what we want to see that's exactly what we want to see from others that are in that same kind of position. I think he is skating. He had obviously scored two goals tonight, but he's been a factor on the penalty kill. He's had a good stick and good physicality on the forecheck. It's a credit to him. But again, I go back to what we were saying about Holloway, is that in preseason, it's about stacking a good day on top of a good day. So great performance for Warren tonight, and I know that he's going to rest and recover and be ready for whatever happens for Wednesday.
You mentioned how much of a factor he's been on the PK. What exactly are you seeing from him on the PK, and is that a role that you can see him be put in opening night?
Well, he's fighting for ice time for sure on that. It feels like there's a lot of penalty kill options for us, especially up front. So there's people that are fighting for that ice time. We said earlier that that's privileged ice time. As a penalty killer, I see Warren as a good skater. I see him as a long body. He's willing to be in the shot lane. And, I felt good when he's on the ice on the penalty kill. So he's got a healthy opportunity on it through his first few games in the preseason here. That'll continue as we finish up the preseason. And what he makes of his opportunity is up to him.
Jay, just a big picture, a lot of veterans play tonight. Just how do you see your group rounding into form as the preseason starts to wind down here?
I'd like to give credit to Vancouver because they had kind of a pesky lineup, and I thought they played hard. I think there's things that we can clean up as a team, but we found a way to win a game in the preseason on home ice. I thought there was some real positives in that game for our entire team. And then I thought there's areas that we can continue to work on. It is the preseason. That is what our focal point will be on Wednesday's pregame skate. And as I said about our individuals, it's also a team thing where we got to get better every day. And that's our plan as we head into these last two preseason games.
All right, that is Jay Woodcroft after the Oilers' 7-2 win over the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Didn't really have an update on Tyler Benson. Hopefully he's okay, because he was, once again, I thought, trying to get involved in the play, but he left the game in the second period.
Yeah, I think Tyler was looking for the 13th forward spot. I think the fourth line start of the season was set with Ryan Shore and Janmark, but I think Benson has fought his way into being here on opening night. I think he's played well. I think he understands what his role would be with the Oilers, and he's accepted it, and he's excelled at it here in the preseason. So it was unfortunate he didn't finish the game, because, again, he looked good early in this hockey game, doing what he's been doing as of late, and that's just being annoying to the opposition. It looked like he took a knock early in the game. He played a couple shifts after it, and then he disappeared for the rest of the night. Again, yeah, you never want to see a guy lose an opportunity because of injuries. Hopefully this is just a short-term thing, and we see him back on the ice very quickly.
Okay, Oilers win it 7-2. You're going to hear from Dylan Holloway when we get back. We're live in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reid Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chair.
And now Bouchard, beaten by Podkolzin. Backdoor, what a play by Campbell! A remarkable glove save! Seems certain to be 4-3, but Connor Garland absolutely victimized by the Oiler netminder. Wow, save of the game by Jack Campbell, courtesy Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Campbell, a good night, 28 saves. It was 4-2 when he made that save. Could have given the Canucks a little bit of life about halfway through the third period. A phenomenal save.
It was, and you said it right there, too. It's in a 7-2 game, you don't think of a save, you know, keep giving your team the victory. But it's 4-2, the Canucks, and Woodcroft talked about, they did battle hard in this game, and at times they had control of the puck in the offensive zone, and that was a really pretty passing play, and you thought Garland had wide open end. And we talked, I think it was the end of the first and the second, how well Garland plays against the Oilers, and he always seems to produce. He's going to be thinking about that on the plane ride back to Vancouver, because he had the entire open net. It looked like an automatic goal. But Campbell came up with a big save at a big moment, and that's what the Oilers need, are those kind of saves. Campbell was very good in this hockey game, and that just carried off of his last appearance.
I noticed, because they showed the replay several times, obviously, when Campbell was defending that, he was squared up to the who made the pass?
I think it was 86 or something along that line.
I can't remember. Anyway, he was squared up, but he already had his glove up in the air. So when he pushed across, his glove was already kind of that mid-net height. Because if he needs another split second to lift his glove as he's going across, probably doesn't make the save. Because it was basically like it was 8 inches from going in.
It was, and almost like he's pushing his body out with his hand. They're already attacking the puck with his glove hand. I know that Kelly Rudy or Dustin Schwartz, they'll have a lot better idea of what he was trying to do, but whatever he tried to do, he was successful at it. Again, you're going to need goaltenders to come up with big moments and big saves during a hockey game, and tonight he did, and it was a 7-2 victory, but the Vancouver Canucks were probably 2 inches away from having a 4-3 score at one point in this hockey game in the third period. So Campbell made a big save, and the Edmonton Oilers forwards responded afterwards with a little bit of insurance.
All right, let's hear from the hat trick man tonight. Here is Dylan Holloway.
Yeah, nice two goals there. Dylan, just how would you describe your game today? Nice to get a hat trick in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it felt really good. It was kind of one of those nights where everything seems to go right, but I mean, I owe a lot to my line mates. I was fan of two pretty good players there in Leo and Heim. So I thought we played well, and it was just good to get the win.
Hard to players. Yep. didn't feel good going into a game and then had a great game, or vice versa. Any sense of where you kind of felt like maybe something good like this could happen, either during the day or once you got your first maybe tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that I was playing with Leo and Haim, so obviously I was pretty excited, and my adrenaline was going there right from the start. So, yeah, I was super excited all day and just felt good.
Dylan, sorry to put you on the spot. I know it's probably too quick to reflect. When you look at your journey over the last couple of years or so, when you're battling these injuries and trying to get your way back, and now you're kind of riding momentum, maybe take us through what's going through your mind.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Obviously, last year was a long road rehabbing the wrist, but right now the wrist feels really good, and feels good shooting. I'm not even thinking about it, so I'm just out there playing hockey, which I love to do.
I gotta ask you, what do you think of the nickname Hollywood from Tyson Berry?
I mean, I don't mind it, but I don't know, I think it's pretty funny.
Are you embracing it?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Honestly, they can call me whatever, but.
Do you feel as the more you play, like you're going to start playing against some NHL lineups as the closer you get, do you feel like how comfortable are you now that the competition's going to ramp up here in the last
I mean, feeling good, but yeah, you're right. The competition's going to pick up. It gets tighter out there. So just got to play simple and play hard and kind of get pucks deep, and I don't take my chances when I get them.
This morning, Jay Woodcroft was talking about the need for guys to get noticed. Obviously, and you've done that prior to this game, but you seem to ratchet that up even more. Have you heard that message? Was that kind of just your mindset before every game, was make sure you get noticed to make it a tough decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into camp, I just wanted to play well. I just wanted to play my game, and I knew I was going to have to do something to try and make the team. So, yeah, I'm just happy the way things are going, but we got some more games coming up.
Dylan, one thing that your head coach always says is you have to earn your confidence and earn your opportunity. When you found out you were playing the top six alongside one of the best players, was necessarily going through your mind?
I mean, obviously, I was really excited. I've been watching Leo the last few years just tear up the league. So to play alongside him tonight was really special, and it was a good opportunity. And, yeah, I was just thankful for it.
All right, that's Dylan Holloway. An exciting night in his young career. 3 goals and an assist. Oilers win the preseason game 7-2 over the Canucks. We're happy to hear from you, 780-496-0063. You're going to hear from Leon Draisaitl and Tyson Berry. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reid Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chair.
Nugent Hopkins over to Bouchard. Fake the one-timer. McDavid left circle. Tipped home. Hyman sitting back door, and McDavid put it right on his stick. Well, we expect big things from the Oilers power play again. That was the power play goal tonight, second period. Hyman made it 2-1 Oilers. Bouchard, great job to keep it in at the blue line. McDavid gets it, feeds Hyman right in front, and as he's getting checked from behind, knifes it into the net.
Well, Hyman made himself big in front of the net. He got good body positioning on the defenseman. He shielded his stick away from the defenseman, had his stick set up behind the goalie's pad so that when the pass came, it would just hit the stick and bounce in the net. A nice play by McDavid, but Hyman set that whole play up by the way he positioned his body and his stick in front of the net.
Yeah, I wrote a couple of years ago that I thought the Oilers could have a 30% power play. They haven't done it. That's pretty hard, but they're going to probably be over 25 again. And it's funny, Jack and I were talking on my show a couple of weeks ago. I think we went back 10 years, and there were only a couple teams that had over a 20% power play, and now it's basically half the league is 20 or better. So that's another reason why I expect that scoring is going to be up this year, because teams are pretty good on the power play. There's a lot of talent. Leon's so good at that one-timer, and today he made it a little more challenging because he tried to baseball swing one hit.
That was funny. And if there's anyone in the National Hockey League that could do it with some success, it would be Leon. The thing with the Oilers' power play, their power plays can have special years where all of a sudden everything goes right. Teams haven't been able to adapt to it, haven't been able to read it. And all of a sudden you have that special year. What's hard for power plays is to do it consistently next year, then the next year, and over and over and over again. Because when your power play is successful, the entire National Hockey League is sitting down in the computer room with all the video and trying to figured how to stop it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, here's why they're successful. Let's break it down. And they get it. Like, here's Connor, all his shifts. Here's Leon. Here's exactly what they're doing. So the opposition knows what the other's tendencies are on the power play. yet the Oilers continue to find ways to create. And the biggest thing that I see with the Oilers, we've talked about it before in their power play, all their players are interchangeable. If you watch other power plays, if you watch Ovechkin in Washington, he's always set up in the same spot. And which it's pretty cool because he keeps scoring from there, but you know where he's going to be. And Backstrom's on the other side, and the plays are there. The Oilers, Leon could be up on the top left. He could be on the top right. He's up high in the slot. He's down beside the post. Connor moves from one side all the way around. It's hard to kill a penalty. Kill a penalty or stop a power play when the guys that you're stopping and the guys that are supposed to have tendencies aren't where you watch them on video. Okay, well, Leon's supposed to be here and Connor's there. Well, wait a sec. Now they're on the opposite. So it just throws you completely off. So that's what's so cool about the Oilers' power play is that they're so adaptable. So if you're going to take this away, well, guess what? We're going to throw this wrinkle at you, and they continue to have success.
All right, Oilers win at 7-2. Let's hear from Leon Draisaitl.
Very, very happy with what we've seen with him.
You mentioned the competition ramping up. How much do you want that in the final two games? I'm not sure if you play both or not, but how important is that to maybe at least have one where it's legit NHL guys on the other side?
It's important. I think every player is a little different there. You want to go up against guys that you'll see a lot in season. So it's always important to have at least one or two games where you get a legit lineup. And
Leon, sorry for jumping on a little late, but what are some of the elements of Dylan Holloway's game that really stand out to you as a line mate?
Well, I think it's just his hockey sense, which comes from his work ethic, actually. It allows him to get into good situations and be up on the play and he gives himself an extra second to make a play, which is obviously big if you want to succeed offensively in this league. That's where it all starts. So, very, very impressed with what we've seen so far.
Seems very almost natural. Like, he seems comfortable. He's played lower down tonight, more of an offensive role. What's your assessment of a kid that we haven't seen a lot because of the pandemic, a couple of injuries?
Obviously, he's been through a lot the last couple of years, I think, and he's finally feeling good and obviously you can see the excitement in him to show what he's capable of, and he's really impressed everyone I think around here, and he's looking really good.
Yeah, and you had a chance to skate with him right when he was getting back from his injury in January. How much different does he look now compared to then?
Well, you can't compare the practice with actual games. I can't answer that. His hand was just skating with one hand. He wasn't even shooting. So obviously he could always skate well. You can see that. But in these games, in real games, you see a guy's hockey sense, the way he reads the play, right? That's what's important. So it seems to be there. I think we're all excited. But with that being said, like I said earlier, competition ramps up. It's going to get harder and harder. But obviously very impressive what he's done so far, and I got no doubts that he'll adjust to any competition.
The one thing that you heard Leon say three times in that interview was he talked about hockey sense. And when you play with star players, that's the biggest thing they're looking for. They want a guy that can read you, can understand where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there. And that's why I think a Dylan Holloway is an exciting prospect for Leon Draisaitl, because he sees the game the right way. So when Leon Draisaitl talks about what skills that Dylan has or how he's changed, or he kept mentioning his hockey sense. That is key when you're playing in the top six in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's exciting, and maybe, Bob alluded to it on the face-off show. I mean, certainly you want to see Holloway again, and maybe he's with McDavid and Yamamoto, or McDavid and Kane, or McDavid and Hyman. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't see that for the one, unless, of course, they take a broken lineup to Vancouver. But if they're going to have a full lineup in, say, the last game of the preseason, because I don't think all the stars are going to play in Vancouver, if they're going to have a full lineup. From what I've seen with the Oilers the last number of years, and Jay Woodcroft has followed with it, they found lines that they think they like, and they keep them together through preseason. Like, Shore, every time that Ryan and Janmark and Shore have played together, they've been a line. Every time that Nugent Hopkins has been with in the lineup with McLeod and Fogle, they've been a line. So I think they really like McDavid with Yamamoto in Kane. Therefore, there's a the competition right now is between Puljujärvi and Holloway to see who plays with Leon and Hyman. So that's why I don't think you'll see Holloway with McDavid. I think they like what Holloway could bring to align with Leon.
Three of the top five power play seasons in Oilers history have been the last 3 years. So here's the top five. In 1920, they got to 71 games.
You remember that year? That was a good year.
They were 29.5%. And who knows?
You said 1920?
2019 / 20.
Oh, I thought the year 1920.
Yeah, so like 85, 86, 1920. So okay. 2019, 2020. Okay. The season shut down in March. They were 29.5%. Maybe they could have got to 30 if they would have played the other 11 games. In 82, 83, not in the future, 1982, 83, they were 29.3. In 2020, 2021, the 56-game season, they were 27.6. Back in 1985, 86, they were 26.3, and last year they were 26% even. I mean, they should be over 25% again.
I would think they are.
I don't think that's making some nutball prediction.
No, for two reasons, I believe that you're going to be correct. Well, three, because one, you're normally correct, so that's a given. The other two are scoring is up in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And two, it's the same players. So it's not like sometimes over a course of two or three years, there's some players that have come in, come out. For example, the Calgary Flames, their power play is going to be completely different this year than last year because they lost Tkachuk and Gaudreau. The Oilers' great power play players are all back on the team.
Yeah.
And they've added a Kane for a full year who's going to be on the team.
Yeah, they cycle through the net front guy. Yamamoto scores the power play goals.
Hyman and Kane. So they've got their stars are there, and they've added
and
to
Bouchard
it.
And Bouchard is probably going to play more. Mm-hmm. And nothing wrong with Barry on the power play, but Bouchard has a better shot.
Yep.
I mean, even if that's three or four extra goals a year.
Barry moves the puck better. Bouchard shoots the puck better. And having said that, Bouchard can move the puck, and Barry can shoot it. Just if you're going to look at the two. And to that, it's just going to be, A, a gut feeling by the coach, and B, who's more rested when the power play starts.
That's our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line. The Oilers knock off the Canucks 7-2 tonight at Rogers Place. I keep saying the game's in Vancouver on Wednesday. It's actually in Abbotsford in the AHL building. But anyway, it's down there.
It's in BC.
It's in BC. Well, that could be in Dawson Creek. They could take the sled dogs to the game. I guess there's not enough snow.
I would hope not. Not yet, anyways.
Let's check the Edmonton scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. So NHL preseason, the Nashville Predators are over in Switzerland. They beat Bern 4-3. Devils blank the Bruins 1-0. Hurricanes ring up the Blue Jackets 8-1. Maple Leafs win 5-1 in Montreal. Penguins over the Red Wings 3-2. Avalanche knock off the Stars 3-1. Flames win at home 4-1. Against Seattle. The Blue Jays won 5-1 in Baltimore. The game got called in the eighth because it was raining. It was actually raining the entire game.
They just waited until the Jays got a big lead. Yeah.
The Monday Night Football game was a San Francisco victory 24-9 over the Los Angeles Rams. The Oil Kings long road trip coming up to the States is going to start in Spokane on Friday. Okay, you can get us at 780-496-0063. Oilers win 7-2. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Midway through the second period. Here's a steal on Connor Garland by Devin Shore, and he finds a wide open Jake Virtanen right wing over the line. Backdoor feed, and Fogel finishes. 6-2. Fogel from Virtanen.
Fogel scored twice, 51 seconds apart, in the final 2 minutes of the game to round out the scoring. Oilers over the Canucks 7-2. I mean, it was already in the bag at that point, but Fogel gets a couple.
Yeah. Well, he got a lot of ice time in the last 4 or 5 minutes as the Oilers just rolled two lines back and forth, and both lines produced. Fogel was good. He was a guy that, I mean, probably small question marks beside him. I don't think... he lived up to the expectation that a lot of fans had for him last year. There were glimpses. Wasn't as strong down the stretch. He came in, talked about he wanted to be a shorthanded guy or a penalty killer this year, wanted to put the work in. And I think the last two games he's been very good. And the line of Fogle with McLeod and Nugent Hopkins has been good. And I think that if the season were to start tomorrow, that's your third line and could be a very effective line. You got a guy with a ton of speed, a guy with very good hockey sense, and then you got Fogle, a guy that's a meat and potato type of guy. They were good in this hockey game.
Yeah, and that's – Jay Woodcroft has talked about that several times, that they when he came up last year, they wanted to strengthen the spine of the team, as he put it. So that means having Nugent Hopkins as a third-line center. Because mm-hmm. when you talk about – I mean, we've gone from talking about the Oilers' big three – I mean, now they have, to me, they have a big five because Hyman and Kane are consistent yes. producers, impact players. But Nugent Hopkins isn't going to be in the top six if he's on the third line. Now, again, that's another good option. Well, you know what? We need to shuffle things up tonight. Well, we'll put Nuge with Draisaitl and Hyman. You know, there's.
And what you love about Nugent Hopkins as a third line guy is he doesn't lose ice time. Because he's on your power play, and a very important part of your power play, and he's on your penalty killing, and if he's not your best penalty killer, he's your top two as a forward. He's always usually starts, so he's still going to get his minutes, and you just have that safety valve as your third line guy because you feel safe when he's on the ice. You know he's going to make right decisions defensively. You can put him against the other team's top players and feel good about it. So, yeah, the Oilers have finally got depth up front that they can move Nugent Hopkins down and not take a whole lot away from the offense of the team.
Nugent Hopkins played 1940 tonight. 435 was on the power play, and 348 was shorthanded. So basically 8 of his 20 minutes to round off was on special teams. Now, there were a lot of penalties tonight. Probably if I were going to pick at one thing about the Oilers preseason, they have kind of taken a few too many penalties along the way. I mean, maybe that'll go away during the regular season, but they were shorthanded because when was Vancouver's goal? Vancouver scored 4:24 into the second period. That was already their fifth power play in the game of the game. So, not even 25 minutes into the game, the Oilers had taken five minors.
Well, and you think about it, if that's 10 minutes of killing, that means 10 minutes of no Connor, no Kane.
Well, Kane kills a bit.
Sometimes. Not often, not as much. No Leon. And if they do get out there, they're in a defensive positioning. They're not out there doing what they do best. So, and then it also takes a Benson out of the game. Shore wasn't killed in today. Took Shore out of the game. Vertanen wasn't out there. He doesn't play in those situations. So it does really hamper a lot of players when they take dumb penalties. And tonight, the penalties were just, you know, reaching in, sticks up, things like that. They will be better come regular season, I believe.
All right, so Vertanen got an assist today.
Mm-hmm.
He was plus three. He plays 10-17. He was credited with one hit tonight. It's a PTO. I mean, technically you can be on a PTO forever. I mean, Chris Kelly was here that one season I can't remember how long it was, but it was into the season. Do we need to see more? Do you take him on this trip with the team building activity coming up? I mean,
well, two things. One, if Benson's hurt long term, that opens up a possibility. I don't think he's done enough to earn a spot here. To me, it's whether or not they want to use a contract to give him a two-way deal. I don't believe he starts the season with the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think he's shown enough. The assist, the play he made to Fogle back door on the 2-1, that was a beautiful pass, a wonderful pass. But they're not looking for 2-on-1 capabilities from Vertanen. They need a guy that plays with edge on the fourth line, and we haven't seen that. So to me, he's on the outside looking in when it comes to this team this year.
Dmitry Samarukov, nice night for him. He goes plus four.
That is a nice night.
13:50 of ice time. Got a shot on goal. Kind of took that one long-range shot on a drop play. I mean, obviously, a lot of Oilers had some good stats. Like Shore gets three assists.
I thought he was excellent.
Goes plus three.
Yep. I thought Shore was very, very good. I think he just cemented his spot in the fourth line. I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
As for the defenseman, he's behind Niemelainen and Broberg. So Ryan Murray. So he'll be in the minors. But a nice showing. I mean, the first time we saw him was not a good night for him in St. Louis.
Just after Christmas.
Yeah, so that was a tough one. So good to see that he had a good response in the game tonight.
Zach Hyman, goal and two assists in 17:51, six shots. I mean, Hyman, to me, preseason, regular season,
he's the same
playoffs,
player.
Like, here he is.
Yeah. There's no off button on him. There's no where you're going to – it's like on a stove where you can turn it to different levels, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Hyman's always on high. Like, there's no – he doesn't, you know, bring it down a little. Oh, it's an exhibition. I'm only going to give 60%. He's a player that everybody wants to play with, and as a fan, you cheer for because he's a great player and a great person, so you want him to have success.
All right, let's go down to the Oilers dressing room. He had a goal tonight. Here's Tyson Barrie.
Things were maybe a little bit slower going, but then eventually second period came around, third period came around, and the Kings started to work themselves out. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it was, just a game that was tough to get into with, power play early and then penalty kill. We definitely took too many penalties, and it kind of killed our rhythm to the game, but we did a good job sticking with it and staying out of the box the second half, and then, I thought we, scored some goals.
For you, I mean, I know it's preseason, and you're always nice to kind of get a goal and just kind of build that confidence getting ready for the season.
Yeah, I mean, even it's preseason, you want to feel good, and you want to feel good heading into the year. So nice to play well and get a goal and, kind of be involved in the offense a little bit. So, yeah.
You jokingly were calling him Hollywood, and now Hollywood's like writing quite a script here.
Yeah, no, I think it's a bang-on nickname. I mean, he's got the blonde hair, the smile. He's a great kid, and he's going to be a heck of a player. So, something like that. No, he's a great game out of him, and you can just kind of see the way he, he works 200 feet of the rink. He plays well defensively, and then he's got the skills, he's got the speed. So, he's going to be a big addition.
Does it take much too many strides for him to get going full speed? Like, he can be going that way, and then all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, no, he's a quick little guy. Yeah. It's impressive. You want guys like that to step in and make an impact in your lineup, and I think he's he's well on his way.
All right, that is Tyson Barrie after the Oilers' 7-2 victory over the Canucks at Rogers Place. Edmonton 4-2 in this preseason with two games to go, playing Vancouver and Abbotsford on Wednesday, and then Friday night at Rogers Place, they'll be hosting the Seattle Kraken. You can get more on this game, more on the team on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Don't forget Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon to 2 tomorrow. I'll have Inside Sports at 6 at 7:30. I'll hand it over to Morley Scott for his latest edition of the Elks this week. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer at the 630ched Broadcasting Compound. We've been live in Studio 99, Holloway a hat trick and an assist as the Oilers beat the Canucks 7-2. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reid Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Have a good night.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.